Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today on Live Talk, we are looking at the renewed calls by Patriotic Alliance Party of South Africa for all illegal immigrants to leave the country. This came out at the opposition party's 10th anniversary celebrations at Orlando Stadium last Saturday. That was on November 25th, 2023. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. U.S. lawmakers are racing to reach a deal on billions of dollars in aid to Ukraine and Israel before the holiday break. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
As snow blankets Ukraine and Ukrainian troops brace for another hard winter of fighting, aid crucial to Ukraine's fight against Russian aggression is in jeopardy in the U.S. Congress.
For weeks, long weeks, a handful of Republicans have dangerously tried to link Ukraine aid and make our support for democracy in the West a pivotal issue that history will remember us for, conditional on passing hard right border policies.
The White House has requested $106 billion in national security funding, including $60 billion for Ukraine and nearly $14 billion in aid for Israel. While most Senate Republicans support that aid, they are asking for billions in funding for border security in return.
I called the president last week to make sure he understood that there wouldn't be a bill without a credible effort to get on top of our disastrous southern border situation. I hope that made the point, because I think on our side, I've been the most enthusiastic supporter of the underlying bill.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said passage of the aid package in the U.S. Congress is one of three key victories Ukraine needs on the international front.
It's a challenge. It's not easy.
The U.S. lawmakers have only a few weeks left in the session before heading home for the holidays. And the White House says the aid already distributed to Ukraine is running dangerously low.
We didn't just pull those figures out of thin air. It was very much in keeping with what our partners have told us they need for the coming months. And in both cases, the runway keeps getting shorter and shorter.
Many Republicans have expressed concern about continued aid while there are many pressing domestic needs. One analyst told VOA the debate over Ukraine aid can't be separated from domestic political concerns.
Some of the critics of Ukraine aid would say, well, Ukraine is important, or Ukraine's in trouble, but we have a lot of domestic needs. We have poverty, we have border issues, we have other national issues, and so we should be spending the money on that. And I think that that's a false dichotomy. A great country can do two things or more than two things at the same time.
Opposition to aid to Ukraine is more significant in the Republican-majority U.S. House of Representatives. But Speaker of the House Mike Johnson has said he is confident it will pass. Catherine Gibson, VOA News.
Sudanese women of various backgrounds recently gathered in Nairobi to discuss the brutal war that has ravaged their country the past 7 months. With no end in sight, they feel their voices have been silenced and they yearn to contribute to resolving the conflict that has killed thousands and displaced millions since April 15. VOA Nairobi Bureau Chief Mariama Diallo was there and has this report.
Women in Sudan were a big part of a revolution that helped end 3 decades of autocratic rule by former Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir. Their push for a transition to a civilian government was cut short when war broke out 7 months ago between the Sudanese army and the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary unit. Thousands are dead, millions are displaced, and there is no end in sight.
Since April 15, voices of civilians and voices of women has been completely, I would say, sabotaged. We didn't have a space to tell our story or to speak about our suffering.
Hala Al-Kharib is with the Strategic Initiative for Women in the Horn of Africa. She says her organization convened a two-day summit in Nairobi because it's important to bring Sudanese women and civil society groups together.
We have participants who came from conflict zone and they have endured living under fire and during and, you know, exposed to all kinds of violence for the past 7 months. It's really critical to listen to their stories, to listen to their experience, and to listen to their positions and views.
Some participants spent 3 to 10 days on the road to reach Nairobi, including Nidal Usman Musa, who runs the South Khartoum Kandakat grassroots organization.
We have faced much obstacles, displacement, refugees, rape, violence. We missed our job, our children missed their education, and also we missed our voice in this war.
Alawiya Bahr el-Din, a former social worker, now a refugee in neighboring Chad, had to leave her home of El Janaina in West Darfur, where about 700 people were reportedly killed earlier this month after clashes between SAF and the RSF, according to the International Organization for Migration.
This is so difficult. The situation there is so difficult for women, believe me.
The fighting in Sudan has made it hard to reach certain areas, says Nadal Fadul, who's with SUDRO, the Sustainable Development Response Organization. She's based in the United States. Fadul says it's imperative the women unite toward peace and how to sustain it so the reality on the ground doesn't happen again.
So we're talking about people with diabetes, for example, not able to get insulin to treat their diabetes. We're talking about kids with malaria not able to get anti-malaria treatments. We're talking about women not able to get simple menstrual hygiene products to be able to go through that with dignity.
Others participating in the conference as a show of support included the Netherlands chargé d'affaires to Sudan, Burish Ramsuk, now living in Nairobi, who said the challenge for these women is to develop a political strategy for getting a seat at the negotiating table.
There's an extra hurdle for women to be taken, and that is not only to formulate their vision, what they want for women in Sudan, but also to be heard. And I like the spirit this morning where it was said, you do not wait until you get invited, you just go, you take it.
Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
Back to our main topic, Patriotic Alliance over the weekend amplified its calls for illegal immigrants to leave South Africa, accusing them of selling drugs and taking their jobs. While addressing the anniversary, PA President Gaetan McKenzie said foreigners are, quote, devils sent by the devil to sell drugs to our children, to take the jobs of our children, off court. He said they don't need illegal foreigners, adding that if they win the coming elections, he is going straight to the Rahima Musa Hospital to switch off the oxygen of illegal foreigners. The opposition party, together with other organizations such as Operation Dudula and South Africa First, have been demanding that illegal immigrants be kicked out of the neighboring country. The party is also urging its members not to employ foreigners, whether they have papers or not. However, some analysts view the alliance statement as xenophobic. This is coming at a time when some 178,000 Zimbabweans who are recipients of the Zimbabwe Exemption Permit Program were given a reprieve by the courts until June 2024. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain,
and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see. We seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depends on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today, we are discussing about the renewed calls by Patriotic Alliance Party of South Africa for illegal immigrants to leave the country immediately. To discuss this, we are joined by Dr. Vusumuzi Siwanda of African Diaspora Global Network, Ms. Diana Zimbudzana Chambara of Zimbabwe Exiles Forum, and Mr. Velempini Tutani Ndlovu, who is a legal advisor. Welcome to the Live Talk Diaspora Forum, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Good evening, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Let me start with you, Dr. Siwanda. What do you make of the statements by Patriotic Alliance President Gideon Mackenzie over the foreigners?
Well, look, the president of the Patriotic Alliance has always depended on trying to show hatred and being, you know, an extremist as far as, you know, nationalism and the hatred of foreigners are concerned. But I think this should then show that that is why his party could not fill a 40,000, you know, stadium seater. And it shows that there is a lack of, you know, of political, I mean, lack of understanding, and there is a bankruptcy in terms of political ideology, because his only ideology is to fight foreigners. And on the one hand, he goes on to say he supports Israel, because that's what the Bible tells him to do. But he does not realize that the Bible tells him again to take care of the foreigner that lives within him. So he's self-contradictory. He does not know what he's doing. He's just trying, but he's obviously unsuccessful. He will manage to get a few of his followers and people like Gidula to perform those acts of extreme hatred and xenophobia. But that's all he can do, because that's exactly the size of the man that he is in his mentality.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Siwanda. Please do stay on the line. Mrs. Mudala Chambara, is there anything wrong with the calls, since they are directed to illegal immigrants who are in that country illegally?
There is everything wrong with that statement. The biggest problem with that statement is that every foreigner now is being deemed illegal. Because when the xenophobic attacks start, no one will ask a foreigner to produce a passport or a permit or a visa or whatever legal documents that allows them to sojourn in South Africa. No one will ask for them for that. They will just be beaten and killed. So to really then hide behind a finger and say we are targeting illegal foreign nationals, when in actual fact they are targeting all nationals, all foreign nationals, is actually wrong. So there is everything wrong with that statement.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ndlovu, we've also heard some government and ANC officials saying illegals must leave South Africa. Are these statements inflammatory? If yes, is there anything foreigners can do to address the issue besides going back to their countries?
I think what we've got to bear in mind is that this is just a rhetoric which is being said in light of the fact that South Africa next year is going to be holding elections. So in the last elections, it was shown that parties which had anti-immigrant sentiments actually have a spike in of increase in the figures that they got. So all these Gaetan Mackenzies people and other people in the ANC who are now saying foreigners must leave are riding on that wave. But what is quite ironic for me is that call by Gaetan Mackenzie to say that foreigners commit crime. Lest we forget, he himself is a convicted criminal who used to do bank robberies. So if we're to ask him, was he doing all those criminal activities as a foreigner or as a South African? Because it's quite ironic that crime is blamed on foreigners, but the statistics don't actually show that the majority of the criminals are foreigners or illegal foreigners for that matter. So the statements are quite inflammatory, but what is good is that in South Africa, the law is still there. People have got recourse. So there's nothing like they're going to target the foreigners unless if they do the repeat of the 2008 xenophobic attacks. Mm-hmm. But the law protects foreigners because people like saying illegal immigrants. I don't subscribe to that word of saying illegal immigrant. I think people are just undocumented immigrants because of the inefficiency of Home Affairs. People can't get the right documents that they're entitled to because everyone who comes from somewhere mm-hmm. is actually entitled to some document. And what's ironic is that when they're talking about illegal foreigners, it's only directed at black Africans, whereas South Africa is home to a lot of people from Asian countries, from European countries, who are here also without any documentation. So maybe we've got to try and take this propaganda back to them and say, instead of using the phrase illegal immigrant, let's just say undocumented immigrants.
Yes.
Because a person who has not committed any crime walking on the street today, you can't just say that person is illegal, because saying illegal already now says that the person has done something which is against
wrong.
The law.
Okay, let's hear from Dr. Swanda. Dr. Swanda, Mr. Ndlovu there mentioned something that is very important. He says these South Africans who are calling for illegal immigrants to leave their country, they are only targeting blacks and mostly Africans, their fellow Africans. Is this common or is something that is targeted?
Well, indeed, the issue of the majority of the people that are being fought in these xenophobic attacks has always been, you know, migrants from Africa. And for some time, you will remember that there's been a desire to even say, let's not call it xenophobia, but rather Afrophobia, because it targets, you know, the blacks that, you know, mainly in South Africa. But we've also seen of late, especially where the tax shops are involved, where other people, particularly from Asia. So the attack has been mainly on Asians and Africans. I think people that are normally regarded as the most vulnerable, that are really from countries or areas which maybe cause them to be suffering at a disadvantage. But people that come from Western countries or Europe per se, you know, they have not seen or faced this kind of scourge, obviously, because maybe they are in a higher class or they live, you know, in the middle to upper income, you know, suburbs. So the attacks are very common in low income or high density suburbs, and therefore they will not take it into being, you know, secluded and protected areas. So they vent their anger. That is why you probably have heard that people are only acting because they are hungry, because they don't have jobs, and they are simply trying to find a place where they can vent their anger. And the nearest and most susceptible are these migrants from African and Asian countries.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chambara, tironzwa vana veZimbabwe vakawanda vari kupindurawo munyaya dzatinenge tichinyora dzine chekuita nekudzingwa kuri kunzi zvisarwa zvekune dzimwe nyika zvinge zvibude muSouth Africa. Vakawanda vari kuti aiwa, isu kana vakatidzinga muno tinongodzoka semapindura atakaita. That's Ms. Diana Zimbuzana Chambara. The question is directed to you. We've heard many Zimbabweans saying that even if they say illegals should go back to their countries, or even if they deport us, we'll still find our way back into South Africa. If the South African government or the authorities can see that this is not working, why continue on the statement or the program of deporting these illegals?
Pejo. Then in English, what is the implications of the whole thing is that no matter how much people are deported, they will come back, especially from neighboring countries, because they are very close. Some people actually will tell you that they came here walking by foot. So it's very close for Zimbabweans, for people in Lesotho, in Swaziland, in Mozambique, in Malawi, in Zambia, to come here. It takes them probably 2 days. So, and it's an expensive exercise for the South African government. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they keep on repeating this same expensive exercise where they pick up people and then they wait for the people to be, the number to be enough so that they can then be deported en masse. It doesn't work. They need to come up with a different modus operandi of this whole thing.
Mm. Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line. Before I go to Dr. Swanda or Mr. Ndlovu, let me just read some of the comments from our listeners. Tina Mukoma Taona B. Firey, Anzi ANC, irikuziwa kuti ine ma foreign, kwa kuti iwe wawea nasi nyarara, usatake favorite, ne we iyo, regandi kutende, ne muta uro wako, unyatuzaonda we muno, nyabonga. Anza hai, wadwaru kuta ura ANC kutaiwa, iliku ziwa kuti mune maforena mnyika imomu, saka wapu watenda ne muta uro uno, zikuwa kunyika ikuoko. Anzi na mkoma Chang Lee Munashe Daniel Zichari, jiku pinga izu, ati endi, mungu oya rukudaro anzi, next year kuna election, kutagarutsi giro, ndi mkoma Efson Mabiza, warukudaro. Zukanzi ne mungu anunze Alec Marikite. Iro bato racho ndiro rinofanira kubuda muno South Africa. Ndo zviri kubva kune varimunzi vadzokere kunyika dzavo vari South Africa. Ndo dzoka muri mukoma Ndlovu. Tingaona here hurumende yeZimbabwe inewo dzimwe nzira dzaingabatsira nadzo zvizvarwa zvayo zviri South Africa. Kana pachiita zviitiko zvakadai zvekukurudzirwa kunzi budai mudzokere kunyika dzenyu.
We're not going to see that, because we all know the Zimbabwean government, when things like this happen, they just keep silent, because they also know that they are at fault, because a lot of people are in South Africa because of the economic meltdown that happened in Zimbabwe from 2007, 2008, thereabouts. And from that time, Zimbabwean economy has never been okay. In fact, from 1997, that Black Friday when they gave the war vets 50,000 each, the economy of Zimbabwe has never been okay. So they know that they are at fault, because they can't take care of their own citizens, and their citizens see that there's no economic activity that they can get involved in Zimbabwe, and they leave. And then they become undocumented immigrants in other countries, with the majority being in South Africa, because it's a neighbor, like my sister, who's also on the show, said. Others were able, have been able to go to America, the UK, and other European countries. There's hardly any country in the world that does not have any Zimbabwean. So the Zimbabwean government, even though I don't know whether it even wishes to do something about the plight of Zimbabweans in other countries, but they because they can't, then they just keep quiet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Dr. Swanda, Have you ever tried to engage the Alliance Party or the Patriotic Alliance Party?
Yes, thank you very much. We have. I think you will remember that apart from even public, you know, discussions, I mean, there is one that actually was doing the Nation program when we engaged the Patriotic Alliance, particularly when they were addressing the issue of mass deportation. And when we took them on, they said, no, they are talking about mass deportations of irregular people that are without documentation. We're not talking about all migrants, because their position has been that they want all migrants gone out and they'll close. And then one of their members then spoke and said, but we want to close the country and send all people out. Then again, Gayton McKenzie came and said, yes, that's what we want. So you can see there is a confusion even of ideology of what they mean. They have statements, they don't even understand what they mean, because you may not be able to do that, because there are people that are legal in the country. The issue of undocumented people is an issue that has got to be dealt with in terms of law of the country, to the extent that for as long as they're talking about people that have not successfully gotten documents, one cannot say that, you know, they don't have a grounding. But their major issue is that they want to fight across the board and, you know, segregate against all migrants, even those that are lawfully and legally in the country and properly documented.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Ndlovu, let me go to Mr. Zimbuzana Chambara first before I come to you, Mr. Ndlovu. Mr. Zimbuzana Chambara, the Patriotic Alliance is urging its members not to employ any foreigners, irregardless of their status, whether they have papers or not. They are saying you should not employ any foreigners. Can those with documents challenge this in courts?
It's really politicking. I don't even want to. It's discriminatory. Yes, they can challenge that in court. But the statement itself is the political rhetoric of such an extreme nature. No wonder why they couldn't fill up a 30,000-seater stadium, because even the employers themselves listened to this and thought, no, this is hogwash. Because a person is employed on the basis that they can offer their labor at a lesser cost than the next person, or maybe they can offer their labor at a better quality than the next person. So there are a lot of things that are considered by employers or prospective employers before they employ anyone. Mm-hmm. So to then go and say to employers will just, if they prefer to hire foreign nationals, they will just hire foreign nationals, regardless of what Gayton McKenzie and his party say.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's politicking. We are now in the silly season of politics, actually.
Yes, we've seen that in many countries where political parties use that as a campaign carrot. But also it leaves foreigners vulnerable, because for some political party members, they don't know where to end, where the rhetoric ends. They may take that seriously. Won't that also put foreigners expose them into trouble, Mr. Ndlovu?
It might, but foreigners are also people who know that there's the law, and at law there's something called self-defense. So if someone is coming and attacking you on the basis that you are a foreigner, you've got the right to defend yourself using force which is equal to the force that person is applying.
Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our show. And I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to Dr. Vusumuzi Siwanda, the African Diaspora Global Network Chairperson, Mr. Diana Zimbuzana Chambara from Zimbabwe Exiles Forum, and Mr. Velimpini Tutani Ndlovu, a legal advisor, all based in South Africa. This is Jonga Kandemiri signing off, saying, you have a good day.